Here's one of the busiest guys we know, and we're pleased that he has a few moments to take time for us. It's going to get a lot busier, I suggest, by Thursday. Here's the president general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Brian Colangelo. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Bob, how you doing?
Excellent.
How does it feel to be the last guy standing?
Well, got to be somebody, huh? And actually, I'm sitting right now, so. Listen, I know it's difficult to answer questions when you may not necessarily know the answers, but I'm intrigued by the process here. Do you have an ongoing dialogue with Chris or his people to the point where you can get any sense of how he's leaning? I know you read the media reports. We do. We know some of it is BS. Some of it may be based in fact. Do you know more than we do?
You know, I just checked Hoops Hype to make sure I got the latest gossip and rumors.
Don't endorse that. But, Brian, shame on you.
It's somewhat sarcastic when I say that, but no, there's so much out there right now. In fact, there was a big article on NBA.com, and I pointed this out to the media last week, that had two and a half month old quotes from Chris Bosh indicating that he was going to be his own man and go out. And I think that position has changed, and he is kind of waiting at this point. He admitted so on the radio the other day on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken, that he's going to wait for probably LeBron to make a decision, and then everything else is going to happen. And, you know, I've been saying all along, anybody that says they know what's happening is nonsense. There is all sorts of different things that you could, talk about, different pictures you could paint. I do feel like I've got an insight because I've had a chance to communicate with Henry Thomas and with Chris Bosh over the last couple of months about various other things. But it's not like anyone is sitting here with any information that those individuals themselves have shared with anybody. There seems to be a little bit of a movement right now that, they might all end up in the same spot. Again, I've got to be very vague, so I'm sorry I'm talking around the topic a little bit.
I understand.
There's only so much we can talk about. The only thing I can say is that Chris Bosh is officially a free agent because he did not exercise his option. He will be exploring the market. I think it's likely that he will leave. The question is, will he put us in a position to benefit from the sign and trade scenario that could net him the most money and us something coming back?
Well, you even acknowledging that you think he most likely will leave is something. Is there anything you can do that we aren't aware of to influence Chris's decision?
No, we've obviously got our own recruiting tactic planned. We were going to do much more of a public campaign similar to what Miami did with Dwayne. Dwayne was, not only there and in a situation that he could actually influence that campaign, but, when our team started to just turn south post All-Star, it's when everything we were talking about was about to start to take shape, and we didn't think there was the right tenor in the market to do it, and we pulled some things back. We do have our own approach with respect to wanting to, meet with Chris and talk to him about the situation here and convince him to stay, or talk to him about the situation that might lead to a sign and trade. And I've been preparing, for that for some time now. There is a strategy to it. I'm not sure that there's a strategy on his part with respect to the timing of the meetings and all the different schedules that everyone is going through. All the things that are reported with respect to meetings that have been set, nothing is supposed to be set until July 1. The rules clearly indicate you cannot even communicate with a representative or the player until July 1. So some of it has probably been done illegally. Some of it has probably been done just by word of mouth and players making pronouncements about their plans. But Chris has been pretty quiet about what he's going to do and how he's going to do it.
Are there things you can do, though, such as could you do something, for instance, with Hedo Turkoglu in short order that might bring you something in return that could influence Chris's decision?
Yes and no. I think that, if you're asking is Turk movable, I think he is. Do I have an intention to, explore things? I think I need to reserve comment there and simply say that, we've heard his concerns, complaints, whatever you want to call them, I'm not calling it irreconcilable at this point, because at some stage you cannot have such an outflow of talent. And if Chris leaves, and I've gone ahead and moved Hito Turkoglu in a separate deal, and we don't have a whole lot coming back to show for it, this team probably won't be very good. If I can wait to find out the outcome of the Chris Bosch scenario and then explore, I think then that's the better timing there. But having said that, one thing at a time. We said we were going to approach the draft a certain way. We did. I think we actually landed a very good player, a player suitable for the needs of this team, with and without Chris. He addresses some needs defensively, rebounding-wise. He's long. He's athletic. He provides us great insurance for the departure of Chris Bosch. In the event that Chris leaves, I need to see what the fallout of Chris leaving is. Do we get something back in the form of a sign-and-trade? What those pieces are will determine what the needs of the team are even at the next stage. So I think it's somewhat systematic. We've got to let things happen a step at a time.
When Vince Carter was here, the general managers, I don't know whether specifically a general manager or general managers, confided in Vince, talk to Vince about the acquisition of players, the kinds of players Vince would like to see around them.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophically, do you do that with Chris? Have you done that with Chris? Would you be prepared to do that with him?
Since I was appointed general manager now just about 4 years ago, I have spoken to Chris about every significant transaction that's gone on. So, yes, that is something that is consistent, and I can't say it's ongoing, because Chris has been somewhat persona non grata. He's been seen and heard from through various media outlets, obviously, and he's been vacationing for the better part of a month, but doing things that are keeping his name alive. But I'm not sure his agent has spoken to him a whole lot in the last month. There's literally been, very little contact or communique with anybody in his camp. And it's something that, is there frustration on our part? Yeah, I think there's even frustration on his agency's part. But, he's doing things the way he wants to do it right now. And, we will get to a point where there's a conclusion to this one way or the other. And, again, do we communicate with Chris? Has he been a vital part of some of the significant decisions that have been made here over the last 4 years? It's yes to all of the above. And as we look at Chris as a potential free agent, our own free agent, and wanting to re-sign him, I still have that intention and that desire. But it's becoming more and more clear that that's not going to happen. Now we need to decide what the best way is to come out of this.
John?
It's almost like the last month you talk about, he's been running for office. Everywhere you go, you see Chris Bosch at the NBA final. You see him on ESPN radio for, he was there for 5 hours. He was up at 5 a.m. last Thursday on morning radio in the United States. Brian, yeah. You were here last October and told us that you talked to Chris from the beginning, saying, listen, that this, we can both benefit from this year, from your position, just to improve your play, to make you a better free agent, and help us, and we can maybe work through a sign and trade. Does that mean if you don't get the sign and trade that part of the agreement's been broken?
Well, I don't know if there was any sort of ironclad agreement,
but
it was acknowledged that, leaving that kind of money on the table it would be a little bit unusual. But I don't think that I can control that. He's the only one in control of that decision. So, we will see how it all plays out. This is, there's been some talk, criticism, if you will, about, how do you lose a guy for nothing? Well, there were times that, yes, he could have been moved, and I can't get specific about what was on the table, but it was never anything that said, yeah, let's fold the cards up now and trade away our best player so we can avoid losing him for nothing. I still always felt like the best way to play this out was to let him play the season out. And going into All-Star game, that all looked pretty good, because if we had kept winning from All-Star on, we might not be having a conversation like this right now.
Yeah.
It might be all about, what are we going to add to the puzzle? Instead, The team tanked. He missed 13 of the next 30 games, or final 30 games, and we could not recover from that. And having said that, we are now in a completely different set of circumstances. And, you know, whether or not we get something back is out of our control. It was always out of our control. But I think when you're talking about a significant sum of money and you're talking about the leverage that little amount of money may have, I think there's still a chance that we're going to come out with something if he decides that he's going to leave. We've also been criticized, well, Toronto, you know, another free agent leaving. You know, this is not that case at all. I think this is a case that is special circumstances. You're talking about a guy that loves the city. I think he's been treated well here. He likes the organization because the organization has treated him very well. He's just part of what is an absolute phenom or phenomenon in it's unprecedented in professional sports, where so many teams have maximum allowable space, three teams have double max allowable space, a chance to add perhaps a third maximum player when you factor in Dwayne Wade being a free agent in Miami and being part of that equation. This is a unique set of circumstances that's got everyone into a frenzy, and I have to say it's the perfect storm for Chris Bosch to leave, and unfortunately we're possibly going to be on the short end of that, but we will evolve. We will have to evolve and move forward, and you know, perhaps that era started with the selection of Ed Davis on Thursday night last week. Not that he's going to replace Chris, but he's a piece that will be part of the next phase of building this team.
Is there any potential advantage to the Toronto Raptors in rejecting the notion yourselves of a sign and trade? To wit, if what you're going to get in return are undesirable pieces or guys that you don't that you don't envision being a part of this franchise in the future, guys whose contractual situation is onerous beyond a year or two. I mean, is there a scenario by which you say, no, sign and trade is a bad deal for us?
You know, again, maybe I'm being too specific here, but if I'm a particular franchise and I got a guy that is arguably the best player in the league, I might say, I don't want to be known as the owner that traded that guy away. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think you can read through that. If I'm the Toronto Raptors, however, and I've got a player with perceived market value that's very high, and I look at the alternative of losing him for nothing, I think you take back the alternative, and it's not that you take back bad contracts, but if at the very end you get back non-player assets, i.e. picks, or what's known as a trade exception coming back, that trade exception is very valuable, and it's a tool and it's an asset. And so there's always a situation where we don't take players back in a potential sign and trade. And again, all this is hypothetical conversation.
Yeah.
As if Chris comes to us and says, I don't want to play for you anymore, I want to play for Team X. Mm-hmm. Then we get on the phone with Team X and we talk about what they have, what we might want, how that might come back, and by way of example, if a player goes out at a maximum number and I take back a lot less, the difference between what's coming back ends up being what's known as a trade exception. That trade exception can be used to acquire a player or multiple players. Let's say that differential is $12 million. I can go out and get a $12 million player somewhere in the market. Maybe there's yet another free agent
right.
that doesn't want to be with his particular team that likes our team better. Now I can pass that trade exception onto that team. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
I'll take that player into that in a sign and trade. And then now Team Y, in this case, would have the flexibility to do the same thing. So I would say, in this case, dropping below the cap if Chris leaves doesn't give us enough flexibility to forego all the other things that are in play, which would be mid-level exception, the possibility of a trade exception, the bird rights to Amir Johnson, which now becomes very important to sign, all those things that are, I think, more valuable than dropping below by a limited amount of money.
You've explained it very well, and so I gather the answer is I guess it's possible, but it's very, very unlikely at the very least. We got to get out of here. Thank you for your candid response. We appreciate it. We're going to everybody's going to be watching with interest, as I'm sure you will be, as the clock strikes midnight on the 1st of July and then the ensuing frenzy that is inevitable. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thank you.